God, I'm quite sure this is the reason why God called it sozo, was sozo, you don't forget it. I'm just convinced that's why. But anyway, it means to save us from our sins, but it also means much, much more. That word is used over 100 different times in the New Testament, and it means healing sometimes. It means deliverance sometimes. You get your breakthrough. It even was referred to when Jesus commanded a demon to come out of somebody. And the word was, it says, and they were healed, but the word in the Greek was sozo. And so it's interesting that God would use a word that has much, much meaning. But he did that for a reason, because he didn't leave anything out that we would ever need. He didn't leave anything out. And so I'm so glad that you guys are young and you're learning these things, because they'll stay with you for your entire life. And you'll be able to draw on them to help other people, because that's one of our assignments. Did you know that? We're on this planet to help other people. Yeah? If you go way back and look at what he gave Adam instruction, he said he gave him dominion or authority on the earth. But then he said, I've put resources in the earth for you to serve me, God, and to serve fellow man. So when you have things like Savannah, you gave that bracelet. You were operating in a principle of God when you gave that bracelet away. You had kindness operating. Somebody over here said kindness. Which one of you said kindness? You said kindness. And that's exactly what you were doing. And you were thinking, well, she didn't get one, I'll give her mine. And that is an amazing principle to learn at a young age, because the world system, governed by the enemy, Satan, says, hold on to everything you can get. Don't share it. You're going to need it. He'll give you all sorts of reasons why not to even give into the things of God. Well, you might need it for a rainy day. I just don't participate in rainy days, so I don't need anything for a rainy day. And if I needed more, if it rained a lot, if I lived in Seattle, I would start an umbrella company. I mean, come on. God's given us a brain, right? How many of you thought of that too? It's like, come on. Well, here we are in New England. You got to think of something he could have you do. It's just a little thought for you. But anyway, so why would God want to heal us? Because he loves us, his primary. And then it's his will to. It's his will and good pleasure. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, I quoted it earlier. There's my marigold seeds. You don't have them in your Bible? It helps me. I can just look at those and see the goodness of God. Philippians, that's not it. My pages are coming apart here. There it is. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. A few weeks back, I asked everybody, why did God create man? Well, first of all, it was his will to. Nobody forced him to. Nobody suggested to him, hey, God, you ought to, you know, create man. No, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. So it was the will of God, and then it was for his good pleasure. He made us with a nose and two ears and one mouth because he wanted to, and for his good pleasure. Right? He was the designer, the master architect, wasn't he? None of us thought of making us like us. You'd probably look at your neighbor and say, I'd make them different. Yeah. You know, have a shorter nose or whatever, and longer legs or whatever you need. But God's made us all uniquely different for his goodwill and his good pleasure. And he's given us inside of us abilities. He's given you talents, giftings. And he's given you a will and a desire to want, once you get born again, now the desire in here, your spirit man wants to please him. And see, we're at war with our spirit man, our flesh, because our flesh wants to do things, you know, still wants to cuss out the guy cutting us off in the car. But our spirit man, after you do that, you feel kind of yucky. Well, some of you do. Some of you, yeah, I told him. But anyway. But we shouldn't be doing that, because once we get born again, we've got God inside us. We need to start thinking like God's inside us and think the way God thinks. And so it's God's goodwill and good pleasure. In Luke chapter 5, Luke is back here. I know where it is, Jay. It's right after chapter 4, right? You were going to tell me that. In verse 12, it says, "And it happened when Jesus was in a certain place that a man who was full of leprosy," leprosy was and is still a hideous disease, and it attacks the flesh and destroys it, "and he saw Jesus, and he fell on his face, and he begged him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.'" So he must have heard about Jesus being good, right? Right? We're going to hold our place right there. I don't know if you opened your Bibles, but I had to open mine. In James chapter 1, I can quote it, but let's just turn there, because this is part of the message. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Some of you know it for memory. But this is right in line with a good God. And it shows us what a good God does. It says in verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." Now, what that means is God doesn't change. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, "I am the Lord thy God, I change not." In Hebrews 13 and 6, Jesus says, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can count on God not changing. So if we can find in the Bible where God's a good God, we know he's not going to change. Next week, he's not going to be mad at me and be looking to smite me on the head with a big club. Okay, we can count on him being a good God. We also know in Romans 10, and verse 34, I believe it is, Peter here says, "I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons." In other words, he doesn't pick and choose favorites. He doesn't say, "I'll heal you, Helen, but I won't heal you." He's not that way. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all of you. And he says, where did I say it was? It's Acts. It's not Romans, is it? No, it wasn't in. It's in Acts. You see, another key is you got to find the right scripture. You got to find the right scripture if you want to follow me, or if I want to get my what God wants for you today. In verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Now, he got that from the Holy Spirit. In truth, he was led by the Spirit of God to say that. And so that was revelation from God to him in his spirit. And then he said it, and then the Holy Spirit had it recorded for us to learn. And so God doesn't pick favorites. God, every one of you up here are his favorites. You're just as much his favorite as I am. Hey, at least smile at me. I helped you with your coat. anyway, so it's God's will and good pleasure that we be healed. It's because he loves us. We're his kids. We're his kids. And I don't want to try to look at the other side of where some of you were trained up, because these kids here haven't been told things that are lies. They're learning the truth. And I want to go forward with the truth, because Jesus said in John 8, in 31, he said, "If you continue in my word." So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Another key is the word of God. If you continue in my word. Well, let's look at the reciprocal of that. What if we don't continue in his word? You're in trouble. Yeah. See, God's word is conditional upon us doing something with it. And that's what faith is. If I say I believe that when I lay hands on somebody that they're healed, then I have to believe that when I do that, and that's releasing my faith. If I was saying, I hope this works, I hope this works, there'd be no faith there, and nothing's going to happen unless your faith is overriding and is like, I'm receiving. And you could do that. But we work together, don't we? And it's not wrong. Like I said, there's probably a dozen different ways we can get healing. And one of them is two people coming into agreement. That's one way you can be healed, is coming into agreement with somebody else that is releasing their faith at the same time as you. And so you always want to have friends and family in your life that maybe are just a notch above you in the word. See, that was one of my criteria when I was looking for a wife. I said to God, I said, I want somebody that loves the word, loves God more than me. And come to find out, weeks after we were being cross-examined by the clergy to see if we were fit, you know what I'm talking about. They were amazed because they thought we cheated and our answers were the same. Because that's what she had put down, that she wanted a man that would love the word more. And that's why, and you guys can learn from that too. The word of God is so, so important. And so we see that God loves us. We see that it's his will and his good pleasure to heal us. Over in Proverbs? No, Psalms. It's close. I'm close. It's just before it. Psalm 107. Turn there in your Bibles, because this just nails home. This whole chapter nails home how much God loves you. And you've got to know in your heart that God loves you. God had absolutely nothing to do with you having a sickness or a disease or a calamity. God had nothing to do with it. God and the devil are not working together. You know, when the IRS gets the forms, God doesn't submit one and the devil is working for him. I don't know if God submits one to the IRS. But anyway, they're not working together. Okay? We just read in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, and he don't change. So you can know for certain that God wants you healed because he loves you, because that's his goodwill and his good pleasure. And then in verse 20 here in Psalm 107, it says that God sent his word and healed them. God sent his word. Now, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See, Jesus, we're going to celebrate Jesus at Christmas time being born, but before he was a little baby, he was the Son of God. He was with God. And he was God the Word. It says that in Revelation, I think it's chapter 19. But anyway, he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destructions. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing, isn't it? That you can say yes. Yeah, yes. You can talk in church when I'm asking you to talk in church. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. It starts out in verse 1, back up to verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He's a good God. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What has he redeemed you from? Well, he's redeemed us from our sins, set us free from them. He's redeemed us from sickness and disease. How do I know that? Glad you asked. Turn with me to Isaiah. You see why one of the keys, the word of God, is so important? It's because that's where God spells out that it's his will for us to be healed, that it's his desire for us to be healed, that he's pleased when we're healed. Now, if God is pleased when we're healed, does it please him when we're sick? No. He doesn't want you to be sick any more than you want your child to be sick. So it doesn't bring pleasure to God when we're in sickness. So what should we want to do? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science. You know, if you're sick, you don't want it. How many of you, like, enjoy sickness? Man, I just hate it. It's awful. Where did I tell you to go? Isaiah. I'm in Jonah. What am I doing over there? I'm on the boat. All right. Don't swallow me. All right. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely Jesus, referring to Jesus, has borne our griefs or our sicknesses and our weaknesses. So do you know when he did that? Well, when he went to the cross, you all know that he died on the cross. Before that he went to the cross and hang on the cross, they whipped him. They whipped him. And it's going to show us here in just a minute what that did for you and for me. Why it's important that Jesus was whipped. Okay? It says, he carried our sorrows and our pain. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God as if with leprosy. What that's referring to is when the people saw him being whipped and when they saw him on the cross, they didn't understand what was going on. We do because we have the word of God to show us. But they were thinking, my goodness, they were probably thinking, God, you're forsaking him if he's really your son. He's dying. They didn't understand. Remember, Peter got all freaked out and even said he didn't even know Jesus three times. But then we can know in the New Testament how Peter raised up and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, he was a warrior for God. He was a warrior for God. And so it goes on to say, he was wounded for our transgressions, for our sin. Jesus paid that price. Say, thank you, Jesus. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sin. The chastisement for our peace, I like the Amplified, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him. You see, everything bad went on Jesus. The sin, the sickness, the disease, the poverty, that all went on him so that you and I don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to have a mind full of oppression and depression and not enjoy life. Jesus said, I came that you might have an enjoy life in John 10:10. So when we take the word all together, we can see God's a good God. God loves us, and God wants us well. Here we saw in Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and he healed us. And then here in Isaiah, it shows us what he did. And then it says, and by his stripes, that was when they whipped him, by the stripes that were laid on his body, we are healed. So the work's been done, hasn't it? The work's already been done. Okay, so we're building a bit. We're getting there. We're almost there because it's easy. You guys understand what's going on, right? God's what kind of God? Okay, does he want us to be well? Everybody, yes? Okay, and has the price been paid? We just saw that it's already been done. Let's just look at one more scripture that shows us over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. This refers back to Isaiah 53. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and served him. And when evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed. Now that just, demon-possessed, that just means it's somebody that has allowed Satan to come into their life. And as a born-again Christian, you can't be possessed because your spirit's perfect. He can't get in there. But I tell you what, his little demon imps, you can't see them, but they're all around, okay? They can come and they can talk to you. They watch and they listen and they'll talk to you and they'll try to get you to think, oh, poor me, and you want to have a pity party and nobody likes me at school and get you to feel down. No, you need to rise up and say, I've got the mind of Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you need to stand up and you need to begin to speak God's word out of you, and it brings you up. It builds you up. Amen? That means, do you agree with it? So be it. Okay? And so he said, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word. There's another scripture in Luke that says that he just cast them out with his baby finger. I mean, it's no effort at all. And if God's living inside of you, the Spirit of God's inside of you, you've got God. You don't have junior God because you're little. You have God. And so the power is inside of you, okay? And the reason you need to be taught about that power is so that you use it correctly, okay? And so that's why we take time with the Word of God to find out, would it be right for us to pray for somebody or lay hands on somebody for their healing? Thank you for saying yes. Yes, it would be. Why? Because we've just looked at the Word to see that it's of God, right? You always want to check your life or a situation by the Word of God. That's a key. Write that down. That's a safeguard. Check it out with the book. Don't just take it for gospel because pastor said so. I'm very careful to say the right things, but I've kind of twixed them around sometimes. And I said something once, and I just remember this because it was a few months ago, and I said something, and Nancy Poole was in here, and she looked like, what? I said it backwards. Has a different meaning when you say it reversed. I can't remember what it was, but it was, choked me right up. I said, did that really come out of my mouth? So we've got to pay attention to what we say. So anyway, it says that he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. He healed all. There's not a place recorded where Jesus left anybody unsick. When they came to him for healing, he healed them. Okay? In Luke, and we're almost there. In Luke chapter 5, I already looked at the story where he spoke to the leper. The leper came and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He actually begged him. He implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now, it must be in the other account of this that I was thinking of, where it said moved with compassion. Jesus was always moved with compassion. That meant compassion is not willing that you stay in the condition you're in. Sympathy just sympathizes with you and say, you know, it's too bad you're dealing with this. You know, I wish you well. I hope for the better. But compassion goes to the root of it and says, I'm not willing. I'm not willing to let you stay in that condition and let you suffer. Compassion reaches out and does something about it. There's a business called Compassion International or something. I think you see it when you go to Soul Fest. And they're all about helping people that are in need. But that's what Jesus was doing, wasn't it? Okay? Okay. Now, which one of you guys want to be preachers? Because you have to stand up here all this time. I know some of you are thinking, man, this is just, aren't you glad you're sitting down? Anyway, so let's just review so everybody is on the same page. God is a good God. Does he want us healed? Why? Because he loves us. And it brings pleasure to him to see us healed. Okay. Then we saw in Isaiah 53 and in Matthew 8 that the work's been done. So we can check that off. The work's been done. Now what is left? You have to receive it. And that's easy. Say that's easy. Say today's my day. I'm receiving my healing, my breakthrough. You see, faith is now. Faith responds right now. You can't say, well, I'm in faith when I say, I hope I get done, you know, my problem goes away this month. You know, no, that's off in the future. The devil will make sure it always stays off in the future and you never get healed. You've got to show the devil that you got the goods. Now, what I mean by that is you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you and the power of God. That's anointing. That word means the power. And that power can change circumstances that the doctor says is no way going to happen, but the power of God can change it, can it? Matter of fact, we're coming into the Christmas season, and we'll probably talk about it when we get closer to Christmas. There was a miracle with Mary. She was 16 or so years old, wasn't married to a man, and then God says, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, well, I don't have a man in my life. How can I do that? And he says, I'm going to come upon you. That was a miracle, right? And it did happen, didn't it? Why did it happen? God loves us. Why was that possible for Mary to conceive? She believed. If she'd have said, no way, God, wouldn't be Mary. Might be Martha. Oh, goodness. I don't know where that came from. But a merry heart doeth good like medicine. It's still working on the inside of you. That, look, God's responsible for that, not me. He does stuff differently than the world. And I'm so glad that he always gives us good results. Matter of fact, thank you, Lord. He just gave me the scripture in Psalm 103. And we're going to read that, and then we're going to talk about how easy it is to receive. We're going to receive, then we're going to go get something to eat. Yay. We know who's going to be at the front of the line. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. So our soulish realm needs to bless God. Our soulish realm, see, and that's going to be an act of your will. That doesn't just automatically happen. You've got to decide. Look, David was in a world of hurt when he had to trust God and bless his name. He had to, and so many of the characters in the Bible that God shows us, they had to trust God and they had to speak things when they weren't good. You know, when Paul and Silas were in the dungeon, they were in, and it wasn't our dungeons of today. It was rat-infested, horrible stuff. They don't feed them, chained up, and they're singing praises to God. But then what happened? God heard that, acted on that, and caused an earthquake to come, break the chains off, bust the doors open, and even the jailer gets born again because he would have gotten executed for letting them out, and none of them left. They stayed there, and he was able to get saved. All right, so Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, you adults that have jobs, you know about benefits packages, 401ks and vacation time and, you know, whatever. And that's important. How many of that's important that you get a great one, a great benefits package? Well, you come into God's kingdom and you have one who forgives all your iniquities. Man, the grace of God, the mercy of God is so powerful. He heals all your diseases. How many of them? All of them. He redeems your life from destruction because it's the Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what destruction is, to destroy you. But here, God has redeemed you or set you free or released you from the work of the enemy coming in and taking you out. You've been redeemed or set free. You've been purchased. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, I used to think that meant like Dairy Queen and, you know. I guess it still could, but go to Ken's place. It's better. Those burgers, I tell you. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's where I get a lot of people just jump up and shout and stuff. The kids don't because they don't get it. But anyway, the Lord executes righteousness. Listen to this. He executes righteousness, or his way of being right and doing right, and justice for all who are oppressed. How many? All of us. So if you got oppression on you this morning, you're going free this morning. You're going free. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. So now all there is left is to, did we hand out the bracelets? Okay, so we don't have to do that. All there is left is to ask who would like to come up and receive. Now, another key to receiving is when you talk, what are you doing? When you just talk, yes, hi, sweetheart. When you talk, you're giving out, right? But when you receive, you don't want to be talking. And that's why sometimes, you know, spirit-filled believers will want to pray in tongues when I minister. And I just try to encourage them to, you know, just relax. If you're praying in the spirit, then you're not ready to receive. You're more concerned about praying in the spirit. It's like receiving is easy. So let's just keep it easy. Let's just, and a lot of times I'll say relax, because when you're in a relaxed state, you're in a state that you can receive from God. And so that's why I like to say it that way. You're actually positioning yourself for the power of God. Now, the other thing that you want to, that is key, is point of contact. If hands are going to be laid on you, then I want you to be believing that when that point of contact is made, that's when I connect and release my faith. When I lay hands on someone, I wait until I release my faith to do it. Sometimes I'll wait and listen for the Spirit of God. I don't just go down through the line. And I've seen that, and I've seen people get healed. But the Lord has shown me, if I want to show you something, if I want to talk to you, you can't be in such a hurry. You know, this isn't a McDonald's drive-thru. And you know, I've been to Florida, and they have drive-thru churches. I just don't get it. But anyway, we need to have a point of contact. It's very much the same as the woman with the issue of blood. And we'll look at that last scripture. I believe that's over in Mark chapter 5. And we can learn from her. Remember, if God healed her, he'll heal you, correct? Because he doesn't respect, he's not a respecter of people, but he is a respecter of the keys of how he set things up. Or he's a respecter of faith. So, I'm in Matthew, but that story of the woman with the, she had an issue, she's been bleeding for 12 years. Say that's too long. And if you've been dealing with a condition that long, that's too long. It's not pleasing God. And it's not pleasing you, certainly. But verse 25, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. So she'd been trying to get rid of this thing for a long time, 12 years. And she spent all the money she had, so now she's broke. And he even said that. She was no better, but grew worse. She spent everything. When she heard about Jesus, see, we've been hearing about Jesus today, haven't we? Okay? She must have taken what she heard and said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get it. And so that's what you need to do. You need to say, I'm going to take what I know about Jesus, the word, I'm going to apply it to my situation this morning. Might be your eyesight, might be back, might be your heart, whatever. But you're going to believe the way she did. It said, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. So you've come today, okay? She heard about Jesus. She had to go find him. And she went up and she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I like the Amplified because I believe she said that from the moment she left her house. I believe she kept saying it. When I touch him, I'm going to get healed. When I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. When I touch him, I'm getting it. When I touch him, I'm getting it. What was she doing? She's building up her own faith because she's hearing herself speak the truth. When I touch him, she had heard the truth that when people touch Jesus, somehow Jesus healed people. I mean, that's what she had to go by. She didn't have all the scripture we have today. That's what she had to go by. She also had the Old Testament scripture before that that said it's lawful to be stoned if you go out into public with this condition. So she was taking a chance with her life that somebody might along the way put her debt to death. But she kept saying, and she kept releasing her faith. And she said, when I touched the hem of his garment. And so when she reached out and touched, that was her point of contact. And Jesus said something. I already closed my Bible, but I'll tell you what he said. He perceived that power went out from him. And she was healed. Well, let's just go back there. The Lord's just instructed me to not leave it like that. Where was I? Mark 5? Thank you. Jesus, immediately the fountain of her blood, verse 29, was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Isn't that interesting that Jesus noticed the power went out of him when she did what? She just touched the hem of his garment. You wouldn't feel anybody touching the hem of your garment. She didn't touch him. She's just touching the tassel. You can't feel when somebody touches a tassel. But the power went out. He knew the power went out. So what was happening? She placed a demand on that power. It was her faith that placed that demand, and she received it. She drew it right out of him. Now, everybody else was around him. Don't you think there was at least one that probably didn't feel good? That had sickness and disease? But she had a purpose. That's what I want to drive home here. She purposefully said, when I touch him, I'm going to receive. So, for you this morning, when hands are laid upon you, when that contact is made, release your faith and receive your healing. Okay? Release your faith and say, Father, I receive it. I receive it. It's coming to me. That's my point of contact. And so that's really as simple as it is. And God does it because he loves you so. And these guys, put a big smile on your face. You all thank me for the bracelets? Yeah, okay. You're welcome. I know you did when I gave them to you. All right, why don't you guys stand up? And Josh, if you put some music on or something, and we're just going to minister to whoever would like to be ministered to. You know, you might have, if you're going through a situation and it's causing problems in your mind and you're just overwhelmed, you're a candidate to receive the peace of God in your mind. Okay? It doesn't be that you got to have a broken arm or you got to have a back hurting. You know, it could be something as simple as that maybe you're overwhelmed at work. Maybe there's somebody coming against you at work. Well, you know what? We can let the power of God go into you and help you in your mind so that you focus on him. You see, you want to focus on the goodness of God and not your problem. You want to focus on the healing and not focus on the pain. The pain's going. Say the pain's going. But you don't want to focus on the pain. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. So you seek after the healing and the healing comes. Satan will make sure if you keep looking for the problem will be there. So don't go looking for the problem. I'm not denying that the problem is there, but stop focusing on it. Stop magnifying the problem and stop magnifying our God, because he's above that. We sang about the name of Jesus. You know, we've got the victory. We've got the victory because he got it for us. Amen. All right. So is anybody here this morning that would like to receive? Receive is the key. You want to receive. What do you want to receive? Come on up. Come on up. Just come with an attitude of, I'm receiving. This is my day. This is my breakthrough. You know, maybe you got a financial situation. You know, I'm going to come. I just feel impressed that the Lord wants me to come by and just ask you, you know, and you don't have to give me details. But if there's something such as finances or whatever, then he might give me a word of knowledge for that, and we'll take care of that. But it's up to you to believe it and you come forward. See, that's an act of faith, you know? Don't let the devil talk to you and say, well, what are people going to think? People are going to think something anyway. Go free today. Get that junk out of your life today. You know, maybe you've dealt with an addiction for years. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. tell your flesh, you're all done with that. And the Spirit of God in my spirit is going to control my life now. See, that's really when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you let him call the shots now. You're not in control anymore. I know people just don't like it when I say that. They just want to be in control of everything. But I'm sorry. You were bought with a price. And God said, I'm holy, therefore you be holy. There's some things we got no business thinking about, watching, hearing. Look, we're in the last of the last days, friend. And you got to be prepared to meet Jesus. You've got to be prepared. And I believe you want to. And I believe God is dealing with some of you today that, yeah, this is something. Look, there's no such thing as, white lies or white little sins. That's just an oxymoron. Doesn't happen. If it isn't of God, it's of the devil. All right. Are you guys ready to? Now, you heard me say everything. What are you going to do when you lay hands on someone? You're going to release your faith. Okay? So you're going to speak, because I've taught you to speak, and we speak in the name of Jesus, right? Okay? So you could just say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Do you know in the scripture in Mark 16, when he said they'll lay hands on the sick, you know it doesn't say anything about you having to say anything? You don't have to say a word, and God will still heal somebody. Isn't that cool? It does not say that in the Bible, that you lay hands on the sick and then you got to recite a prayer. It doesn't say that. And then you got to cry out to God. It doesn't say that. Not on laying on of hands. And that's one way that we believe that Jesus taught us to do it. Amen. So listen, listen to your spirit. And if your spirit has a word, speak it out. Speak it out. It might be a word to just comfort somebody. Okay? You're in training. They're in training. They're just not up here. Just speak it out. Don't be afraid. Let the Spirit of God use you to help these people. Okay? You may never know. I may never know what's going on in their lives. We don't need to know. The important thing is they're going free today. They're going to get set free. They're going to get healed. They're going to get their breakthrough. And if they want you to pray, then, ask them. If you feel the Lord saying, well, I need to say something, then just, Lord, what do you want me to say? And then act on what that first thing is that comes, okay? That's being led by the Spirit of God, okay? All right, we got a lot of people up here, but I got a lot of reinforcements here. You're making my work easy today. So, little guy, we're going to have you start down here. Come down off the steps. You come over here with me, and I'm going to start over this side, and I will come down and see how we're doing. But I want you to, a couple of you on one person, because I think there's more of the kids. All right? So come right up and say, what do you want God to do for you? Okay? Just find somebody. What do you want God to do for you? Okay? Come up to them. You got to get close enough to where you can put your hands on them. You're not scared. Come on. This is good training. Come with me.
chance, you lift your hands and sing this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You want to lay hands on me? Yeah. You know, the devil didn't want me to be here this week. He's been fighting me. But I've been fighting him with the word, just like everybody else has to. Let me just say this. You're responsible for holding on to what you got. And you need to know God's word in order to do that. So I encourage you, come back and learn, plug into our classes, get a notebook, get that desire in you to, and a hunger for God's word, because that's where the answers are. I mean, that's where the answers for everything is. I can't emphasize it enough, and Jesus couldn't either. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. His word's a sure thing. Right? Right. You got something. I think it was you that I heard screaming over there.
Of course.
She's learned how to receive. Let me say something about, almost said Helen, Connie. Helen's right there. She's learned how to be a good student of the word. And she told me on more than one occasion when she first started coming, I want to learn how to learn. I don't want to mess up, you know. You thought things a lot in your life, and they weren't so. And so from that day forward, you were determined, and she receives so easily. And we all can. Amen? All right. I'm going to see if my students here got the power today. I already know they do. And you know, you don't lose it just because you put some into some of these other people. When you give out, God gives you more. That's how it works with him. It's not like you give away and you got nothing left. You give away, you get more. How cool is that?